Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Right now, in state and federal prisons across the United States, approximately 75,000 people are being held in solitary confinement.
It is a huge number. And back in July, it prompted President Obama to ask this provocative question.
Do we really think it makes sense to lock so many people alone in tiny cells for 23 hours a day for months, sometimes for years at a time?
Well, until now, the answer in Massachusetts has been yes. In fact, this is just one of three states in the entire country that allows the use of long-term solitary confinement up to 10 years in some cases.
Prison reform advocates and some Beacon Hill legislators are trying to change that, and we'll hear from one of those advocates in a moment.
But first, we wanted to hear from someone who's experienced solitary confinement in Massachusetts. Donnell Wright joins us now from Springfield. Donnell, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So I understand that back in 2004, Donnell, you were arrested for selling drugs, and you ended up in the Worcester House of Corrections. But even before your trial, you were put into solitary confinement. How long were you in solitary?
About a complete summer.
A complete summer. And why were you put in solitary before you even had a trial?
Well, your trial has nothing to do with solitary confinement. You can be put in solitary confinement even if you've been held and you haven't been found guilty of anything. What a lot of people don't understand is that in the prison system, you can be re-arrested while you are being held to have your day in court, per se.
Right. And I understand in your case, basically there was some sort of an officer said you had a behavioral infraction with him or her, and that's what put you into solitary before your trial again.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
They have codes of behavior in prison. And, you know, if you're new and you haven't been to prison a lot of times, per se, you don't know all of these rules. And, you know, I got in trouble for saying something to an officer. I was trying to let them know that I knew what my rights were and what they were doing were wrong. And they didn't sit too well with that, and I got charged with what's called insolence toward an officer, which is a verbal infraction.
Mm. And so that is what put you in solitary confinement, once again, before your actual trial for the thing that got you originally arrested. Can you describe the cell for us that you were in for that summer?
Yes, the cell, I would say, is probably 5 by 6, 5 by 7, not much bigger than the average home's bathroom.
And what was it?
Inside the cell, you have your toilet, you have your sink, and you have your bed. That's it.
And it was summer, so was it hot?
Yes. If it's 95 degrees outside, it's probably 110 inside of the cell. There is no ventilation. The water is just as hot as the temperature, and you may have a window that's about 4 inches wide. It may or may not open, depending upon how lucky you are to get a good cell.
So you're put in this cell. It's summertime. It's, as you said, it's not much bigger than an average bathroom. We heard President Obama a little earlier in that clip we played saying up to 23 hours a day some people spent in solitary confinement cells like this. Is that how long you were in your cell every day?
It's not up to. It is 23 hours a day. Anyone who is sent to DDU, solitary confinement, it is 23 hours a day. You get 1 hour a day out of your cell, and that's not all together. It's probably broken up into 15-minute increments. And during those increments, you can use the telephone, which is almost virtually impossible because they have you shackled, and it takes you 10 minutes just to get the phone to your ear. And they give you that additional time to shower. That's it.
Who did you have contact with, if anybody?
No one. They don't allow you to have contact with anyone. If you're lucky and they like you, they may give you your mail and they may allow your mail to go out. Other than that, you're cut off from everyone.
I read that you had a Bible. And that was there in the cell when you arrived?
Well, if you're lucky. They will allow you to have a Bible. That's the only reading material that they have to allow you to have. Anything else is a privilege.
I mean, did you get any of those privileges? I'm just trying to get a sense as to, like, what, if any, contact at all you had with the outside world.
None. There's no outside contact. As a matter of fact, my family didn't even know where I was, and they wouldn't let them know where I was because, as they explained, letting them know where I was would be a security risk. They just throw you in a hole and hide you away from everyone. They can basically do whatever they want to you with impunity.
Donnell, how did you know how many days had gone by, how many months, how many weeks had gone by?
Well, usually what we do is they will allow you to have a pencil. Sometimes, usually the lead is broken and you can't have a pencil sharpener. But what we do is we'll try and find some type of object that we can scratch into the wall. You know, and that's how we keep track of the days.
And as those days wore on, how did you deal with the isolation?
In my particular case, not very well. I'm just not the type of individual who does prison time well. I'm somewhat claustrophobic. And I also have traumatic experiences from my childhood upon which I'm on medication. And the medication, I was deprived of my medication during my stay in solitary confinement as a punishment, on top of the punishment. And because I didn't have my medication, I had a very, very rough time.
Can you tell me a little bit more about or describe how rough it was?
Well, yeah. I couldn't sleep. You know, when you're spending 23 hours a day in your cell, time goes very, very slow. There isn't much to do. We try and exercise to make time go by, but when it's 100-plus degrees in your cell, there's only so much exercise you can do because it's very hot. You get dehydrated very quickly, and like I said, the water that comes out of the faucet in your sink, it's not very good. So I suffered from anxiety and, you know, nervousness, headaches, insomnia, nightmares, you know, just fear of an impending breakdown because I realized for the first time in my life that they could do whatever they wanted to me. You know, they could beat me up. They could kill me if they really wanted to. And I really, really think that no one would probably get to the bottom of what really happened.
Well, as you said, Donnell, you spent a whole summer in solitary confinement. You finally got your trial. And if I understand correctly, you then went on to serve about 5 years in a regular facility, that you weren't in solitary confinement after that, after your trial. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I was a model inmate.
Right.
I didn't get in any trouble. And, you know, that insolence toward an officer, that particular infraction, I believe I was set up. You know, that's what they do to people sometimes if you stand up to authority or stand up for your rights. And when you stand up for your rights, they show you you have no rights.
Well,
and that's what they do to you.
Donnell, can you just hold on with us for a second? Because I want to introduce one more voice here into the conversation. She's Leslie Walker. She's the Executive Director of Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts. And she's here listening along with us to your story. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we heard what Donnell Wright just described. I mean, can you first of all just give us a brief glimpse into what the new legislation on Beacon Hill proposes to change about the use of solitary confinement in Massachusetts?
It would change Donnell's level of solitary confinement, which was in a county house of correction, as I understand, to require the prison officials to report out who's in solitary confinement and for how long. It would change there are two kinds of solitary confinement: administrative segregation and disciplinary segregation. Donnell was likely held in administrative segregation. So in the state system, in administrative segregation, you have to have a hearing every 90 days and where you're told how much longer you're going to be in segregation. It's a result of a case we litigated called LeChance. In the state system, where Donnell ended up but was not in solitary, the bill would drastically change the long-term disciplinary segregation, the up to 10 years for one offense. that would be reduced to 15 days. Mm-hmm. And then an evaluation and a plan will be developed for the prisoner. And then they would become administrative segregation prisoners with those due process protections of hearings and a plan to be reintegrated, a pathway out with incentives to improve their behavior.
Right. You know, there does seem to be some momentum across the country to take a closer look at the use of solitary confinement. Of course, President Obama has asked mm-hmm. for a Justice Department review at the national level. But we also reached out to the Massachusetts Department of Corrections, and they sent us back a statement saying that the use of solitary confinement is necessary to, quote, protect the safety of other inmates and the safety of corrections officers. It's sometimes necessary to separate certain offenders from the general prison population. Such offenders are then presented with opportunities to change their status from solitary if their actions demonstrate good behavior and compliance with institutional rules. So the DOC's statement seems to say that they believe there are good reasons to continue the use of solitary as per usual. And your response to that?
Solitary confinement has been a controlling tool in the Department of Corrections and county houses of correction across the country for decades. It was, you know, it used since time immemorial in Massachusetts and across the country. I think people are used to it. It does work. It's effective. If you take someone who's difficult and put them in a solitary cell for months or years, they are not causing any trouble. But the more we know now about the devastating effects of the long-term solitary confinement, times need to change to protect the public. Prisoners in the Department of Correction are held in solitary confinement 23 hours a day for years and released directly to the street. If they are too dangerous to be near corrections officers and other prisoners, aren't they too dangerous to be near those of us in the public in line at CVS or on the bus? Mm. The bill would also call for a 6-month step down before release from solitary confinement as a normalizing experience, which does not happen right now in Massachusetts.
Well, Donnell Wright, you testified on Beacon Hill in favor of this new legislation. What did you want the Beacon Hill lawmakers to hear specifically about your story?
I wanted them to hear not just about my story, but about the countless others that are currently being held in solitary confinement. And I really believe that, you know, with all due respect to the DOC, their policies need to be looked at by someone outside of the DOC. And I really want them to know that when you do that to a human being, it's called the Department of Corrections, not the Department of Incarceration or the Department of Torture. That's not what it's called. Mm. And when you incarcerate someone in solitary confinement and then you let them out to the public, you know, without any type of mental health screening, you know, to see where they are, a lot of individuals are angry. A lot of individuals, you know, have tried to harm themselves, tried to kill themselves. They're mentally unstable, and they're not ready to be let out into the general public sometimes because it's a public safety issue.
Right.
These people have been mistreated, and then they let them out, and then when they commit another crime, they point and say, hey, he's bad. No, they created that monster, and that's what's going on.
You know, there does seem to be, again, as I said a little earlier, a shift in momentum here around the use of solitary confinement. I see that the Association of State Correctional mm-hmm. Administrators, a group that had traditionally supported solitary confinement, recently called prolonged isolation in jails and prisons a grave problem in the United States. But Leslie Walker, in the last couple seconds that we have here, a similar bill was on Beacon Hill mm-hmm. just a couple years ago, and that died in committee. It didn't make it through. I mean, why did that happen? And do you have a more optimism this time around?
Certainly. Happy to answer that question, Magna. But before that, I'd like to say that I respectfully disagree with the Department of Correction. Being able to work your way out of solitary confinement is simply not true in the Departmental Disciplinary Unit, the 124-bed, up to 10-year disciplinary. It's not true. People are there. If you're sentenced for 5 years, you're there for 5 years. You cannot reduce your sentence. That's what this bill would change. However, last session, the bill moved pretty quickly at the end of the session. The Judiciary Committee reported it out favorably, as did Healthcare Finance, but unfortunately it was the summer, and it died in Ways and Means.
It died in waiting. Do you have more optimism this time around?
I do. The tide is turning.
Well, Leslie Walker is Executive Director of Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Donnell Wright, he experienced 4 months of solitary confinement in Worcester. Donnell, thanks so much for speaking with us as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as I mentioned, we reached out to the Department of Corrections, and they did send us back that statement that I referred to.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll talk to Congressman Jim McGovern about business in Washington, including the president's Afghanistan troop withdrawal plan and more. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.